This is the CPC Podcast, Episode 11, for October 14th, 2018, The Bold Approach. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week on the pod, Reverend Timothy Reeves returns to fill our pulpit. For those unfamiliar, Reverend Reeves is the minister at First Presbyterian Church in Stuttgart, Arkansas. But now, a few reminders. We had some audio difficulties this week, and we apologize for posting this a little later than we usually do. We'll try to do better next week. Our annual Trunk or Treat event will be on October 27th at 5 p.m. We'll have a bounce house, candy, and hot dogs, and we hope to see everyone there. Look for the username CentralPressPB when you're browsing your favorite social media apps. We'd love to have you follow us. And now, let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
Perhaps there is nothing as pervasive and pernicious than the notion of a self-made individual. And yet, in this country, we love to cling to this myth fiercely. Many a person has built an identity around the idea that she or he has made a fortune or become a success with nothing more than cunning and guile. It's a sentiment echoed by the British poet William Ernest Henley, who concluded his poem Invictus, which means unconquerable, with these very familiar lines: I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Those words, I believe, capture the very essence of much of human thought and action. I'm the master of my fate. I control my own destiny. I'm the captain of my soul. I chart my own course that my life will take. But scriptures teach us just the opposite. Far from being masters of our fate or captains of our soul, we are creatures first and foremost, created in the image of God. Our lives function best when we do not seek to go it alone. In fact, the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy has a very stern warning for any and all who believe that they have accomplished everything on their own, that they are self-made. Beginning with verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 8 reminds us, "Do not say to yourself, 'My power and might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." When we believe our own hype, or the hype of others who claim to be self-made, we fall prey to an idolatry of self. We forget our station. We forget we were created by God as one part of a whole creation. We were created by this God to be open to one another and to God. We were fashioned in such a way that we were meant to be vulnerable to one another and to God. And by vulnerable, I mean that we are meant to trust. We are meant to give freely, to receive freely, to love and be loved fully. And I think this is best summed up in the 2nd chapter of Genesis, where we are told that Adam and Eve were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, I think too oftentimes we hear the word naked and we want to zero in on the physical or sexual attributes of that word, but I think the sense in which it is used in Genesis goes far beyond that. To be naked, to be uncovered, to be laid fully bare before the presence of one another and our Creator means that we have nothing to hide, nor any reason to hide anything. In other words, Adam and Eve were fully free before eating of the forbidden fruit to be the persons that God had created and intended them to be as one small part of God's very good creation. What if that meant living into the wholeness and beauty and simple joy that is all around us? What if that meant looking at others as well as ourselves as unrepeatable miracles, lovingly and masterfully created by the great lover of our souls? What if that meant that we didn't feel we had to hide all of those hurtful or shame-filled or ugly or broken aspects of our lives, which we try so desperately to conceal from others, our God, and even ourselves? What if we could all truly embrace our lives as a gift to be received with gratitude and a task to be pursued with courage, as the Confession of 1967 so beautifully puts it? Why would anyone, I wonder, who bears the image of Christ and who him or herself was created in the image of God, would ever be willing to settle for anything less? Why would we, who were created to be in relationship with God and one another, ever want to go it alone? Why would we ever want to be masters of our fate and captains of our souls when the greatest master and captain so willingly and graciously provides more for us than we could ever hope or imagine? But we do. Sadly, you and I both know that we all yield to the temptation of our first forebears in the Garden of Eden. That temptation was to be like God. We want to control our own destinies. We want to chart the course that our lives will take. We want the things that we just know at the very core of our beings are not what God wants for us, but we want them nonetheless. And we pursue them relentlessly and seek God's seal of approval as if God were merely at our disposal to rubber stamp whatever it is we have decided is best for ourselves. And on the surface, I'll admit it's not difficult to see why. It somehow just feels right to take charge, doesn't it? To take matters into our own hands, to assert with great bravado, "This is my life," and to live that life as we see fit. It takes courage to do that, we reason. It takes a unique person of strength and character to be that brave, we tell ourselves. So it's not uncommon that we hand over many things to our God in prayer, and then as soon as we say amen, we say, "You know what? I'm better at handling that. I'll take that off your shoulders, God." Maybe that's why this morning's texts are so confusing at best, or profoundly troubling at worst, because regardless of how much we want to believe otherwise, we are not now, nor have we ever been, masters of our own fate or captains of our own souls. Regardless of what we do, we cannot ever merit God's favor. Regardless of how hard we try, we cannot earn our way into the kingdom of God. Regardless of how good we think we are not on our own ever good enough. And so it is that we encounter a rich man who approaches Jesus in Mark's gospel, and we discover in this man one who is trapped in his own flawed thinking. Now imagine this man, if you can or will. Here's one who is no stranger to power, to wealth, to success. I would imagine he's so accustomed to achieving in this world that he has absolute trust in his ability to affect the desired outcome of his life. And so with great sincerity and veracity and curiosity, he approaches Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What measures must I undertake to achieve this great goal? What course must I chart to get from point A to point B? How do I earn the inheritance I so deeply desire?" And lest we become suspicious of this man's motives, we should note that nowhere in this text does Jesus question his sincerity. Nowhere are we told that this man was seeking to trap or trick Jesus. Instead, he simply approaches and seeks truth. But the truth that Jesus revealed was one that would prove difficult to embrace. Jesus responded by reminding this man of the commandments, and he replied by confidently asserting to Jesus that he had kept all the commandments since his youth. I would call BS on that. I haven't. Who here can honestly say that we have? But Jesus doesn't doubt the man. Jesus doesn't say, what about so-and-so on such-and-such a date? Rather, we are told Jesus looks at this man and loved him. And I would say that Jesus loved him so much that he refused to let him persist in his misguided perception that he could do anything to inherit eternal life. After all, what's an inheritance? When you boil it down to it at its very core, what is it? It's a gift. And if you ever work for it, it's not a gift. Jesus was fully aware that this man, like so many of us, was trapped in his own way of thinking. So out of great love for him, Jesus set out to reveal the truth of God's kingdom. "You lack one thing," he said. "Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Have you ever wondered why Jesus told the man to go and sell everything he owned, give the money to the poor, and in so doing, by extension, become utterly destitute himself? It wasn't because wealth was considered a bad or evil thing in and of itself. In fact, the prevailing view in Jesus' day was that wealth was the sign of God's favor and the reward for a righteous life. That, by the way, is why Job, who was described as a righteous man, had such difficulty understanding the trials and tribulations that had befallen him, and why he felt that if he could just pin God down and argue his case, that he would prove to be justified in his complaint. So if the reason was not because his wealth was an impediment to righteousness, something else must have been at stake. And I believe that that something else is that Jesus looked at him and saw a man very confident in his own abilities. And what he told him was, "You rely too much on yourself, my friend. You lack one thing. You must sell everything and become utterly dependent upon the one who gives eternal life. You must allow yourself to be completely vulnerable to and dependent upon and absolutely helpless before this loving God, trusting only in God's willingness and ability to be gracious. Only then, my friend, when you accept this truth, can you understand that you do not inherit eternal, or you do not do anything to inherit eternal life. You inherit it as a gift from a loving Father. And then Mark tells us that the man was shocked to hear what Jesus had to say and that he went away grieving. In my studies of this text, I was surprised that over the centuries, commentators and preachers have been quick to conclude that this man could not and did not give up all that he had and become utterly dependent on God. But the text doesn't ever tell us that. It leaves that an open question. I like that because there have been times when God has called me to do things that made me walk away grieving because it meant having to put aside certain things that I wanted to do for myself. Doing the Lord's will instead of my own has at times run directly counter to what I would choose. But here's the real point. Regardless of whether or not this rich man did as Jesus commanded, the overriding issue remains exactly the same. We cannot save ourselves. We are not masters or captains. We cannot, in any honesty, say that we can do it our way and be one step closer to the kingdom of God. But here is the part that is often overlooked. We cannot do it God's way and say with any honesty that we are one step closer to the kingdom of God. That's the nature of grace. It's never been about or it's never depended upon us. The good and glorious news is that what is impossible for us is possible for God. Yes, we live righteous lives. Yes, we live obedient lives. Yes, we are called to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God, not to get us one step closer to heaven, but because God has brought heaven to us. So it turns out that controlling our own destinies and charting our own courses are not acts of courage and strength of character. They're acts of cowardice and faithlessness, which say to an almighty God, "I know how to do this better than you." The truly bold approach is the truly humble approach, which is told to us in Hebrews this morning. Approaching the throne of grace with boldness. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves for filling our pulpit this week. Next week, Reverend Cameron Highsmith returns to fill our pulpit. This will be the Reverend's second trip to Pine Bluff from Little Rock, where he serves as chaplain at UAMS. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please take a minute to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're in the Google Play Store, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And wherever you subscribe, please leave us a review. It helps people find us. The music that you heard at the beginning of the pod, and that you'll hear in a moment, is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. We also hope that you visit our website at www.centralprespb.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week.